it's all the same. This record skips, my heart trips. We drink your conscience, we heal your soul. No control, no control. We drink your conscience, we heal your soul. No control, no control. We drink your conscience, we heal your soul. Reflect the light, change your life. There are always two sides. Too many shadows, too many echoes. I can't control, feel my soul. No control, no control. Drink your conscience to feel your soul. No control, no control. Drink your conscience to feel your soul. Unless we live our own lives, unless we live our own lives, unless we live our own lives.
Welcome back. You're listening to No One Is Legal Radio, part of the Oakland Conspiracy for Social Change on Off the Hour. We're at 90.3 FM in Montreal and at www.ckut.ca on the web. That was another track from Blackfire, a Navajo punk band based in Black Mesa in the Navajo territory. That track is called No Control. If you're interested in Blackfire, you can check them out on the web. They're at www.blackfire.net. That's www.blackfire.net. Before that track from Blackfire, you were listening to Cantonetta, who is with Mohawk Nation News, and she was reflecting on the anniversary of the July 11th, 1990 police invasion at Kanisitake, the so-called Oka Crisis. And up next, we're going to hear from Roberta Kisik. Roberta is a member of the Grassy Narrows community. Grassy Narrows is an Ojibwe community north of Kenora, Ontario. And since December 2002, there has been a blockade against the clear-cut logging of the territory of the Grassy Narrows people by various corporations, such as Abitibi, based here in Montreal, Weyerhaeuser, as well as the complicity of ministries like the Ministry of Natural Resources, what Roberta refers to as MNR. Roberta is a trapper, a grandmother, and she's been active in the blockade at Grassy Narrows. And she spoke to us during the Earth Justice Gathering, which is happening this week at Grassy Narrows. It's a week of workshops, trainings, stories, music, action, part of the ongoing resistance in northwestern Ontario at Grassy Narrows against clear-cut logging, against the ongoing displacement and attacks on the rights of Indigenous peoples. So without further ado, here's an interview with Roberta Kisik from Grassy Narrows. We're talking with Roberta Kisik. Roberta is a member of the Lynx Clan and Anishinaabe. She's a grandmother, she's a trapper, and she's an active member of the Grassy Narrows community. On December 2nd, 2002, the youth of Grassy Narrows established a blockade on a logging road in your territory and sparked what is now considered the longest standing Indigenous logging blockade in Canadian history. I'm wondering if you can give our listeners some background as to how we got to that moment in 2002 when youth in the Grassy Narrows community decided to start a blockade that continues to this day?
Well, I guess prior to 2002, we have been doing a lot of things to try and stop the clear cutting. For example, we were doing protests outside the MNR buildings on a Trans-Canada Highway, different parts of the Kenora area. We're writing letters, we're requesting bump up requests, objecting to certain areas being cut, and we were doing speaking engagements. We were meeting with Abitibi, MNR. We had a few meetings with them, trying to tell them, we don't want the clear cutting. And I guess this blockade was kind of the last resort when we couldn't get anywhere with the other things we were doing. We just thought that we had to put a blockade because we just weren't being listened to. And the logging trucks were just, like, you know, coming out with wood. And so eventually, you know, with the youths, you know, by our side, and they just, you know, went ahead and did it in December 2002.
I'm wondering if you can describe a little more some of the issues and traumas that the Grassy Narrows community has dealt with. There's the continuing legacy of residential schools. Your community was relocated away from your traditional living areas. Water contamination, the flooding of burial grounds and sacred grounds, and of course, most recently, clear-cut logging. Can you just describe these injustices that your community has fought against, and what that has meant for where you are today?
Well, all these have contributed to what we, I guess, been terming cultural genocide. It just kind of devastated, like, our culture, like all these, like, inflictions on us. Our culture is based on the land, and when the land is being destroyed, like it is, like with the clearing, it's everything about our culture is, like, based on the land, like the way we pray, the medicines we pick, the food we eat, and all these other, like, historical experiences, like the residential school, the relocation, mercury contamination, it's all, like, it's just, like, done, you know, like, a whole lot of damage to our culture and who we are. And you see, I think that's a result of maybe the social problems we have, like, our people have, like, you know, people are ending up on the streets because they've been chased away from the land that is, like, culturally where they're supposed to be.
I'm wondering if you can describe for our listeners your feelings after the blockade started in December of 2002. What kind of effect did that have on the community, and what kind of effect did that have on you yourself?
Well, like, the way I look at it is, as Indigenous people, we were like born as keepers of the earth, and it's part of our responsibility is to look after the earth, and doing the blockade is we're fulfilling that that responsibility. The community, since the blockade, we've become more aware of like Aboriginal and treaty rights and issues. And if we look back to the time when we first started, you know, and today, there's a lot more that we know about our rights than did back then, and I could say that for the community too. Like, a lot of people have become more aware of their rights, and I think that's been one of the big gains and from standing up.
This coming December will mark the fourth anniversary of the blockade, and it's been described as the longest standing blockade in Canadian history. Now, obviously, 3 to 4 years is an incredible amount of time to maintain a blockade, to maintain a direct action like that. How has the community coped? How has the community struggled in the last 3 to 4 years? What has the trajectory of struggle been like in maintaining this blockade? I was wondering if you could describe that for our listeners.
Well, every time we go do something like an action, we get quite a bit of support, especially of our youth. And we've kind of been like taking things low, like not, you know, really exert as we did in the beginning. But the blockade is still there. It's like we go there every day. We're there every day, and we have a sacred fire going there. So we haven't been doing too many roving blockades, and like we did, you know, like at the beginning. But we still we are still doing different things still, like actions, and we're still also still at the blockade site. We have different things happening there. We have the youth environmental gathering happening there that usually happens in June, and we have just activities for the youth and kids and just the community. Like, we have feasts there and ceremonies, and of course, like I said, well, mostly the sacred fires kept going.
Roberto, I'm wondering what you are demanding of the various corporations and levels of government and ministries that are involved and are complicit in the clear-cut logging of the territories at Grassy Narrows.
I think what we've been saying, especially like the mothers of this area of territory, is that we don't want any more logging. We don't want any more clear-cutting. There's not, like I said before, our culture is based on the land. In our opinion, what's left, what's been left uncut, which is about, in our estimation, is about 50% of our territory. I think that's barely enough to sustain our culture, for us to work on, you know, recovering our culture. Basically, what we've been saying as the clan mothers of this territory is we don't want any more clear cutting. We want everybody out. We want all the like loggers out. That's from the women like that are involved with the clan mothers. I think that's a message for all of them. All the like the governments and the corporations.
And what are you prepared to do to get these governments and corporations to act?
The blockade is going to remain until that happens. It's been here this long. We haven't made any deals, and that's because we're firm on us not wanting any clear cutting anymore.
Roberto, I also wanted to ask you about your reflections on July 1st, Canada Day. We've asked our other guests on today's show to reflect on their thoughts as Canada Day as Indigenous peoples, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are about July 1st, Canada Day, and the way in which non-Native people celebrate that day.
It's hard to celebrate when you're not being treated well. That's how I felt on Canada Day. What's there to celebrate about are the treaties are not being honored, our culture is being devastated, and we've been like screaming about it, and yet, you know, we're not being heard. Like, that was my opinion, was on Canada Day. Like, I didn't feel like celebrating because I don't feel like we as Indigenous people are not being treated right.
I'm sure you've heard about the land reclamation at Six Nations, and I'm wondering about your reflections on that resistance that's currently happening at Six Nations.
I think the fight is similar to what we're doing and what people in all over Canada is doing. We're all fighting for the same thing. Their fight is common with ours, and it's the same kind of fight, in my opinion, and we support them.
My last question is about the Earth Justice Gathering. As we talk to you today, there is a convergence happening at Grassy Narrows, an Earth Justice Gathering. I was wondering if you could describe for our listeners the gathering, the purpose of the gathering, who's coming together, and what's happening at Grassy in the next few days?
Well, from July 10th to the 16th, Rainforest Action Network and Forest Ethics have organized this Earth Justice Gathering to happen at the Grassy Narrows Blockade. And they are trying to help us bring more awareness and bring all the supporters out. And they're doing like various workshops and trainings. Some of the things they're doing is a nonviolent threat action. Oh, they're going to be doing workshops on these topics, decolonization, native land rights, activist legal defense, traditional stories, boreal ecology, tree climbing, media activism. That's just a few things that they've listed that they're going to do. And so it's we're really glad to have that support. It shows, you know, how many people are still aware of what's happening and are willing to come in and learn more firsthand. And then when they leave here, we know that they're going to go and tell, you know, people and just spread the word about what's happening to us. And just, it's just like a real big show of support. We're really like, feel honored and that this is happening.
One final question, Roberta. I'm just wondering what people who want to show support and solidarity with the struggle of Grassy Narrows can do.
Well, they could create awareness. They could tell people about us. And they could write to their MPs to push them to listen to what we want. I think that's a lot of times that's what we ask is, like, you know, people just try and talk to as many people as they can, because each person, if they could talk to, you know, 20 people, and, you know, the people will just become more aware and help us to do what we're trying to do here.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts and perspectives with us today, Roberta. That just about wraps up this month's edition of No One's Legal Radio on Off the Hour, part of CKUT's Open Conspiracy for Social Change, 90.3 in Montreal, and CKUT.ca on the World Wide Web. We urge you to get in touch about our show with your feedback, comments, critiques, and suggestions. You can reach us by email at nooneisillegal@gmail.com or by phone at 514-848-7583. Tune in next month on August 8th. We'll be part of the special programming focused on Prisoners' Justice Day. And stay tuned in a few moments for our friends at Native Solidarity News. Thanks again to everyone that helped out putting together this edition of No One's Illegal Radio. This month's show was produced by members of the No One is Illegal Collective and Network in Montreal. We also want to thank especially Roberta Kisik at Grassy Narrows, Hazel Hill at Six Nations, and Cantonetta and Ganawage for sharing their thoughts today on July 11th, the anniversary of the police invasion at Kanizadage. We end with a message of solidarity and support to our sisters and brothers at the blockades at Grassy Narrows, at the Lang Reclamation Site at Six Nations, and those who continue to commemorate, drive inspiration, and resist from the resistance at Kanizadage in 1990. Canada is not our home and native land. Canada is stolen land. Peace out.